today on Real Radio.
I think every true believer is anticipating, excited, enduring for the Lord's return. To endure, to be looking up, to suffer the burning at the stake if need be, but never losing hope that we could meet him at any second.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, continues now in his series called Who Told You? You know, oftentimes doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this lesson, we learned that the God of the Bible has prearranged a specific timeline of events, but that no one knows the day or the hour of His return. We also discovered why God wants us to know He's coming back. It's because He promised to return for His church, to meet us in the air, to forever be with Him. And He always keeps His promises. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack asks, how are we to endure in times such as these? The true believer is able to endure because our hope is in Christ coming again for His church. And we can be joyful in knowing that God's plan is our eternal life in heaven with Him. And now, continuing his lesson called, Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This is church. Listen, everybody, we got to stop being so big as a church. Stop it. Being big in number has nothing to do with adopting being big in concept or idea. We can be big in number, but we can be small in concept and idea. Listen, know those that are around you. We tell you this so often. Get to know people. I told you before, we're going to start doing some things that are going to force you as best we can force you. I'd love to put you all in a headlock and make you love one another. Like mom and dad, go to your room and love your brother or your sister, you know. But have dinner with one another. Take each other to lunch. You know, we'll have like some after service lunch day. You got to grab somebody and take them to lunch. You know, terrified. The day that we do that, no one's going to come to church. It's too personal. Get personal. Get to know one another. Establish some friendships. What if I don't like the person? Then take somebody else out to lunch. Start spending time together. Why? Because we need to look at each other's lives and convince and rebuke and admonish and correct one another. It's called church. You hurt my feelings. Too bad. When it's spoken the truth in love, it changes people's lives. All this stuff about wearing our heart on our sleeve is ridiculous. The world can do it. That's all they got. The church needs to buck up. See somebody in trouble? Reach out to them. See a Christian going down the street doing something they ought not to be doing? You know, listen, I'm a big fan of this. Go get, you know, the church sticker. It's just the cross. Have you seen it? It's just slap it on your car. Now watch, people don't dig them up. Slap them on your car. And when you see somebody driving around with their skateboard or car with that sticker, pray for them. That's the number one thing. You see that sticker, pray for them automatically. Do you know that? Yeah. If you don't have the sticker, get it. We got like 10,000 of them in the office. Get them. Slap them on your car, and you're going to get prayed for. It happens all the time. It was so cool. Thursday afternoon, three lanes at an intersection, stopped traffic, all three cars had the sticker, and I'm parked behind them. I got to pray for all three cars, and I thought, it's a good thing I didn't do this. I would have been killed, but I thought, I'm going to get out of my car right now, and I'm going to run up to each car and say, hey, man, how you doing? Look at the guy next to you. He goes, do you know them? Do you know them? Get out and know them. And then the light turned green, and it couldn't happen, but I just thought, oh, that's so cool. But at least you'd be prayed for. And if you see somebody pulled over or broken down or a flat tire with that sticker, don't drive by and say, Lord, bless my brother. Oh, God, in heaven, send someone to help him. Dude, that's you. The Bible says God knows your prayer before you pray it. You see the sticker, pull over and help him. Pretty obvious. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when, and we're in it, they will not endure sound doctrine. Tell me something I want to hear. Give me 5 steps on how to get rich. Tell me how my life is going to be perfect and how wonderful I am. No, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, preach messages about felt needs. Give me a sermon that doesn't have any conviction. I don't want to hear anything that stings. I want to come and feel great and go home and just have a peaceful time. Don't talk about transformation. Itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. Heap. Massive. Gathering. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you. Notice the contrast. But you. He's not only speaking to Timothy, he's speaking to the church. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What a tremendous statement. What an awesome thing. But how is this done? How do we do this? How do we endure? I answer that in my own life this way. It's Luke 21:19. It's a verse that you don't hear very often. Sure is important. And by the way, in an illustrative sense, think about what's happening right now in Florida. In Luke 21:19, Jesus says, by your patience, possess your souls. This is what we do. See, how do I endure? This is it. Watch everybody. Listen, everybody. By patience, possess your own soul. Listen, the word patience here, hupomone, it means, listen, by deep-seated joy, endure with consistency, patience, continuance, eagerly watching, watch, in your patience. The picture is, watch me, look. This is the meaning of the word. You're waiting, and you're waiting, watch my foot, you're waiting like this. You know that kind of picture you see in your mind? How are we to be conducting our lives at a time like this? We are to be possessing our own souls. We are to be garrisoning, protecting, securing, anchoring down, dropping anchor, tied to the pier. The wind is coming. The storm is coming. And in the midst of it all, watch, the storm's coming and we're prepared. But we keep looking up. And that foot tapping with our arms folded because we've taken a stance. We're ready to be hit by the storm. We're going to make it. We're looking for his return to deliver us at any moment. But if he doesn't, we're going to make it through the storm. And all the while, there's a righteous, holy anxiety, if I can put those words together. There's this anxiousness of expectancy. In my patience, I'm going through all this junk. In your patience, you're enduring all of these things that are going on in your life. Why? Because it will be well with you. God will see you through. Oh, he's so good. Jesus said in Luke 12:37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. And that's that picture. Just tapping the foot. Oh, Lord, please come today. Isn't that the, you know, if this bothers you, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Nope. But I'm convinced of what I'm about to say. I'm convinced because it's how God deals in my life. I think every true believer who at least understands the word, every true believer is anticipating, excited, enduring for the Lord's return. In every generation, Paul the Apostle did. I believe God has engineered it in the complexion of every church generation for these last 21 centuries to endure, to be looking up, to suffer the burning at the stake if need be, but never losing hope that we could meet him at any second. Paul the Apostle was in Rome. I've been to that prison, the Mamertine prison in Rome. And Paul the Apostle, when you read that in 2 Timothy 4, he couldn't wait for the Lord to come back and he was longing for his appearing. And then he says, but that's not going to happen now. I've waited all these years. My head's going to roll. He didn't say my head's going to roll. He said, "There's the hour of my departure is at hand." And they cut his head off. But he never gave up looking for the Lord's return until 2 Timothy 4, when he had found out from Rome that he was going to be martyred for Christ. In Mark chapter 13, I'm going to finish this today. In Mark 13, 32, Jesus says, but of that day, listen, mark this down for next week's news. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Did you know that? Did you know Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back for us? I'll tell you why in a moment. Only the Father knows. If you're Jewish, you're going, right on. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Yeah, it is. In ancient Judaism, the son who was engaged to the bride, he'd say, honey, I love you. Here's the ring. I'll see you later. He'd go back to the father's house. Many countries in the Middle East, by the way, they're generational homes. You know what I'm talking about? Generational homes. They build either horizontally or vertically onto the family's home. And the young man would make his espousal to the woman. He would give her a trinket. He'd say, I'll be back. And she didn't know if he'd be back next week or a year from now. And he would go and he'd prepare. Where would he prepare? He would prepare at his father's house. Sound familiar? John 14. I go to my father's house to prepare a place for my father? For you. She understood exactly what he's talking about. I'm engaged. Woo-hoo! He's gone. No problem. But when's he coming back? Right? When's he coming back? He's gone to prepare a place. When he's done, it's not when he's done. I told you this last week or the week ago. When he's done is when the Father says he's done. The Father is going to say to Jesus, that's just the right amount of room. That's just right amount of trim. I like that color, son. Remember, he's a carpenter. Crown molding, whatever it is. Nice flooring, Jesus. The Father will turn to the Son who has been waiting to pick us up. She's to be ready. He's anxious in a holy way. And the Father says, go get her. Every Jew knows this. They live it. And Jesus comes for the church and receives to himself 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, the church, and takes her to where he has been preparing. So listen, back to Mark 13. But of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Take heed, watch, pray. There's your, what's God's will? Take heed, watch, and pray. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going into a far country who has left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Do you hear Jesus? Do you hear him? Is there anything in your life that's keeping you from watching? And then finally, we end with this, and it's the best for last, in my opinion. Let's be excited, joyful, expectant, enthusiastic about the Lord's return. We need to be excited about it. If you can't get excited about it, something's wrong. We're to have a living excitement and live in a state of expectancy. And Jesus taught that excitement level ought to be high regarding that of the wedding to come when Christ comes for us. We're to be watching. And listen to the militancy of the last days Christianity. How should we right now in the 21st century, today, now, be? Listen for these words. I believe that we are to be girded up. I believe that we are to be casting down. I believe that we're to be taken captive. And I believe that we're to be ready. Now, having said that, listen to the militancy of those words. Listen to Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus said, for us all, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. Now, technically, church, I don't want to get bogged down. He's actually speaking to the nation of Israel in this. Jesus is going to be in heaven. He's going to be with the bride of Christ after the rapture. And then the second coming, this is what that's referring. Israel will be on the earth. The believing house of Israel at that time, when he comes, he's saying, be ready, just like when one comes from a wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he, listen to this, he, the master, go figure this, will gird himself and have them sit down and eat. And he will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. One Greek scholar put it this way regarding this verse. It is the highest form of hospitality. Listen. That is implied here by the virtue of the fact that the one who is doing the waiting isn't waiting to receive the guest, but has already received the guest in heart and in mind as though the guest had already arrived. It is to rehearse again and again what it will be like when such a loved one finally arrives. Are you so ready for Jesus? That when he comes, it's as though you expected him yesterday. That's what that means. That's what it means. Are you excited about his coming? Are you excited about that? And he says to have your light be burning. I want to leave this picture. Two pictures. Go put your eyes to the screen. Simple, very simple things all over the Middle East, certainly in the area archaeologically of Israel, actual lamps from the period of Jesus, first century. Very, very simple. That lamp was filled with oil. There's a little wick that would be placed there at the spout and it would burn. It's very small, fits in the palm of your hand. Everybody had these. And whenever you had them, watch, whenever you had them, you would use them to go somewhere. You wouldn't use them around the house. Your house had light. But if you're going to go outside the house into the world around you, you would use this lamp. And wherever you went, you could see people walking. Imagine that, people walking like this. And the Bible says, what are you to do? Walk in the light as he is in the light. If you walk in the light, you will not stumble. And those little things were designed very inexpensive, very cheap. It would be like an IKEA thing today. Everybody's got one, or you can afford it. And everybody had this. And when they traveled, they packed the oil and they took this lamp and spare lamps in case they broke. And it was their traveling lamp. It was their mobile lamp, not app, but lamp. And they were expectant. And they were excited. And I want to leave this with you. Are you ready? Are you excited? When you look around, don't lose heart. If the earth should quake, don't lose heart. We live in a fallen world. These things are to come. These are just the beginning of sorrows for the world, but not for us. And I want to end like this. I want to end with this picture in your mind. I realized the other day, and Lisa will say, just park. Because I like the back end when I park. And I don't know if you think, have you thought that through? If you park, it doesn't matter. You will have to back up. It doesn't matter which way the nose is pointing. You will be backing up to get out. Are you with me? It doesn't take Einstein to figure that out. So I'd rather park backwards because I can just leave like that. Why do I think like that? Be ready. Have you ever seen a police car at a donut shop? How do they park? They back in. Why? So they can go. Right? Look, there's people that go to this, especially second service. Not you guys. You guys are holy, righteous, and pure. Second service, people back in. Why do they back in? Because they can't wait to get out of here. Why do you back in? Because you can't wait to leave. Right? Want to get out of here. Why are you doing that? Because I'm anticipating leaving. In fact, Pastor, it's been 59 minutes now. You're done. My car is parked backwards. I'm ready to leave. Church, listen. In life, we need to be like that regarding our faith. Always ready, even to the point, so to speak, of backing up so that we're ready to take it on. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we made it through this service. There's no happy guarantee that we'll make it to second or third. You could come at any time without warning. And Father, as we pray today for ourselves to be lights and examples to a dark and hurting world. We ask you, Father God, that for this church, I can only speak for this church, that it would be a church galvanized in truth, filled of the Holy Spirit, knowledgeable of your word. And Lord, that we'd be careful in our education, that we'd be careful in our learning, that we would not become a bunch of little theologians that sit around and think. But God, that we would be believers, followers, disciples, that we would know, get up, and do. And Lord, that when you do come for us, either by rapture or by rupture, we would be happily caught being busy about our Father's business. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins and having been risen from the dead for our forever justification. And for anyone who puts their faith in you, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life, may they, Lord, receive your salvation. And Lord, we pray again now that you would comfort our brothers and sisters and all those in Florida and Texas. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you keep your light burning with anticipation of the Lord's return. Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And we would love for you to get your hands on a copy of the DVD set, Who Told You About the End Times? Who Told You About the End Times is Pastor Jack's series that expounds on the doctrine of salvation. And we'd like to get that into your hands for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and get your very own copy of Who Told You About the End Times by Pastor Jack Hibbs for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. The study of Bible prophecy has often been misrepresented, which has led to widespread confusion. Now, in an effort to bring some understanding and reason to this important subject, Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guests examine God's prophetic word in the light of world events. Now, these special messages also include Q&A sessions where perhaps questions you may have are addressed. Now more than ever, we need to have a safe and well-grounded understanding of God's word in these seemingly unstable times. Get your copy of Happening Now, Volume 1 on DVD today. You'll find it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. You can look for specific lessons. You can look for specific topics if you'd like. And while you're there, be sure to check out the videos that Pastor Jack makes. Listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love seeing him on the TV or on the computer screen. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Catch up on some programs that you might have missed. By the way, if you have a question about anything you might have heard on the radio today, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. We would love to put you in contact with somebody who can help you out with your question. It's not a problem at all. Just get a hold of us. Hit the Contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.